Any better? Oh, wow. You heard me in Birkenhead then, didn't I? Is that okay? Yeah, just very conscious of the Lord speaks in a meeting when people are gathered together, and you can just pick up on things of what he's saying to us, and he's spoken this morning. So I'm conscious of what I've just had time preparing with the Lord, but also very conscious of the moment, and that he is really speaking. There's an invitation this morning to go deeper into the knowledge and love of the Lord Jesus. And I want that more. Do you want that more? I really do. And it's partly not from a point of view of being selfish, of oh, I want this. It's not. I see a breaking and breaking world out there. But the only remedy is to the love of God and his forgiveness, his redemption. And there's something in them. I want to be a poured out person with you lot. Can I describe you as you lot? But I do. Do you want that? They are searching for hope. And we have the hope of the Lord Jesus in us. And it's got to be shared abroad. And that's the real challenge. That's why, yes, I want to go deeper myself. I do. The knowledge of the Lord, I want to learn more things. But the heart state is, pour it out. Pour it out to others, and they will see rivers of living water. I'm just in the letter to the Romans, and I'm still there. I think probably the last time I spoke, probably months ago, but it was in Romans. So I've just been reading through Romans, and I described it to myself the other day. Do you ever have conversations with yourself? Everyone's going, yeah. Well, the Lord was there too, obviously, and I'm there talking, and you know. But I was thinking, I described my little kind of muse into Romans is that it feels like I'm in treacle at the moment, that I'm treading through treacle. Because now, one of the things is that when you have heard many people's strong, clear views on interpretations of Romans and tricky aspects, that you can become presupposed to believing that, and it can sometimes hinder you with reading the Bible. Can I just say, leave those, they're amazing people's strong opinions, but leave them and let the Lord just speak to you as you read the scripture. It's really important. And I found that, yes, I got given a book about dispensationalism over Christmas. So I enjoy Christmas reading about dispensationalism. So there you are. Well, there's a thing. But there are things that you can just get so caught up in strong opinions. The Lord wants the simplicity. We've heard it today. When Susha shared earlier on, the simplicity of his living word can speak to us. So I have been treading through treacle in Romans, and I've come up to chapter 5. If you have a Bible, it'd be really good if you can just follow with me. And we'll just start. I want to just bring out a couple of things that I've really realised that I want to try and explain. And there are words in Romans that there are long words. There's some words that are quite complicated, some words that I don't fully kind of handle and grapple with, but if you don't tackle them at all, then in some ways you don't enjoy that journey of trying to understand. And I know that most of you have done the Romans course, so you're probably all experts anyway, aren't you? Yeah, I can see it. Some of you maybe not, so, but, you know. So chapter 5, just before chapter 5, before God had been speaking about Abraham and his wife Sarah, and about the promise of the seed, okay? They were beyond the age of having children. And I want to pick up here. It says in verse 20 of chapter 4, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith. And this is one of the key things from Romans, is faith. Righteousness as well of God, but faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in Jesus, who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offences and was raised because of our justification. So the start of what I'm chatting about today and talking about is faith is a key aspect of it, okay? Right, let's just go into chapter 5, an amazing chapter. My homework has been simply to read from chapter 1 to 5, 1 to 5, 1 to 5. If you're someone that has slow processing, repetition is a wonderful thing. 1 to 5, 1 to 5, okay? Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And I just want to read that little bit there and pause. I've had many pauses just in the front room at home, just reading over that wonderful scripture. And it says here, and I pictured, just go with me on this, I pictured a question for you this morning. Where do you stand? Where do you stand this morning in your walk with the Lord? That's to those on Zoom. Where are you standing? And I wanted to just come with me to a little picture, but I pictured this thing of a staircase. Maybe it's a spiral staircase that goes up, okay? And you're standing at the bottom of this staircase. And I wrote this down here. We stand where? In grace. What a starting point. We stand in grace and grace alone. It's very tempting to stand in your works to start with. I've done this, I've done that. And as an example before of Abraham, he was a man that could have stood up and told you all the works that he did, his credentials, his CV. We do tend to do it because we get governed by the world and the culture. We like to stand up and say, well, I've done this, that, here's my CV. I'm looking and ambitious to do this, that, and this. We stand in grace and grace alone. God's wonderful grace. Now, if you're at the bottom of this staircase, can I just suggest we stand in grace, and it's His grace. What is grace? I've just put here, the holy, undeserved favour of God. What a place to stand at the bottom of the stairs. God's holy, undeserved favour upon those who believe through faith. Amazing. Then, as we, at the bottom of the stairs, we look for His glory, it says in this verse. Not for ours. Our standing is sure. And then it goes on, living newly with Christ. Now, here it goes. Starting with, I'm picturing someone now, first step, faith. First step is faith. Starting with faith, the staircase mounts. Then it goes to where? Peace. Peace with God. If you look into the world at the moment, there is a lack of peace. There's an anger. I'm going to go off on one here, but it just caught me. It shocked me the other day. I was just on Facebook. And I was reading a local post. It was in Irby. I need to be careful what I say. It's recorded. But there was an incident in Irby. I think it was Thurstiston Park. And someone had put on Facebook. You can edit this off, but well. Someone put on there, they were putting a post up apologising because their dog had gone towards another dog and kind of got it, I think it was a Labrador. Anyone a Labrador owner here? A little bit over, Phil. But it got a little bit over exuberant, but it jumped up at the dog and then the other dog had given it a little bit of a bite and blah, blah, blah. And this lady had posted a thing just apologising. Just an apology. Really sorry that I let my dog off and blah, blah. Next thing in, someone then replies, well, really, that dog should be kept on the lead. And I was thinking, oh, this is a bit of a... Why am I reading this? You know, what? I've got work to do, got teeth to make, you know. And I'm reading about someone's dog. And then it got back to the other person. Well, I just wanted to put an apology out there for the, you know, for all the inconvenience. And then the next person said, well, really, you shouldn't be acting like this. You should have control of your dog. Can I just say that I read this post and I was thinking, oh, it's mad, absolutely mad. But then it got to the thing of threatening legal action. And that this person shouldn't be out there. But can you see, like I looked at it and I was thinking, oh, this is just... But in it I thought, Lord, there's such an angry world out there. Angry, seeking for justice. Seeking for theirs is the right way. No, God's the right one. He is the only way that can diffuse the anger and the hurt that's out there. And where is it? It's by his grace. It's at the bottom of the stairs. Come to this place of grace. Anyway, that's what I do in my spare time. I read posts about, oh, but it breaks your heart. It really does, that someone can actually give out this such deep hurt. We've heard about going deeper into the Lord Jesus. As you go deeper into the Lord, it takes away the deep anger. He removes it. That's what it means by being justified. It says, therefore, having been justified, that is a legal term for you're not guilty. Isn't that wonderful? We live with so much guilt from our hurt and our history and our past. We actually can sometimes live in it too much that we forget about we're justified by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amazing. Justified. I was thinking about, there was an interpretation. I pinched this from David Pawson. He said the word justification, he said the New Guinea Bible translation in Pidgin English says this: God, he say, I'm all right. Isn't that wonderful? God, he say, I'm all right. Oh, isn't that lovely? He does. If we come through him, to him in faith, his grace meets us and we come to this place of being justified. That is amazing. Then, when that happens, you receive the righteousness of God, not of man. Can I just make a clear thing there? It's the righteousness of God. When you come to the Lord Jesus, God gives you some righteousness. That's amazing. What is righteousness? I was thinking, well, it's the right way of living. It's the right pattern of living. There is something that's imputed to those, imparted, imputed. People say different. But something is graciously given of God. It's his righteousness. Then that gets outworked and lived in our daily life. That's amazing. It gives us a pattern of living. His righteousness. It's not ours. If you think it's yours, well, I had a little read up of what a few people have said describing their righteousness. Just bear with me. I was thinking about Paul himself, but he says this. Paul said of his righteousness is as human dung. This is in Scripture. Okay, you can often get a little bit caught up with your own righteousness and thought, this is what I've done, this is the way I'm living. It can become something of, I'm up here somewhere. Who is the other person? Paul. And then it says here, Isaiah says that the righteousness of Israel was like a menstrual cloth. Can you see the danger there? Someone said to me once, have you ever heard in a prayer meeting that you ask for mercy? Have you ever heard anyone in a prayer meeting say, Lord, have mercy on me? I'm sure we have. But he's saying is there's an element of, Lord, oh, mercy upon me. It's not about my righteousness. It's God's righteousness. He imparts it into a people who come to him through faith. It's just making sense. Because it's taking this little brain, something of just sat in the front room, oh, Lord, help me in this. Help me try and understand it. Right, we're at the staircase still. We stand there looking up, looking for the glory of God, and we stand in grace and grace alone. There's faith that comes into it. We have to reach out in faith and believe in the Lord Jesus. Okay, it's something that he wants us to actually act upon. Yes, it's by grace and grace alone, but he wants, and we've witnessed it here even recently, baptisms. That is a step of faith. It's a believing. That's why they're so blessed, those occasions. And then it goes on. Starting with faith, the staircase mounts around from peace to then hope. And then from hope to love. And then it says, from reconciliation to salvation and life and joy in God. Can you see that? And just those scriptures that we read there. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we glory in tribulations. Oh, Mark, you didn't tell me about that bit. Oh, I've been positive so far. Then we hit tribulations. And this is a hard one when you think of what people go through in trials and tribulations. It's so very hard living in a world where we have free access to worship the Lord. But if you think of so many places, the persecuted church that cannot meet in freedom, and they are going through horrendous tribulation, it's very hard to have empathy in a sense. But Lord, we can pray for them. And that is that we can actually find a place of glory in tribulations. I was thinking of this word tribulations. What does it really mean? And there was like an interpretation of it, of difficulties. And it linked, this word tribulations linked to Matthew 7, where it says about those entering the narrow gate. Hard is the way. You know that scripture in Matthew? I'll just read it out. You don't need to turn there. Enter by the narrow gate, for the wide gate is the wide gate. And broad is the way that leads. Oh, thank you. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who will go by it. But it's the narrow gate. Natural fact described with tribulations, it's a difficult one. It is. You can go with the flow of the culture of this world, and it will be a wide and broad way to go, following the culture of today. But narrow is where the Lord's church, that's where he wants people to come to, that narrow place. Yes, difficult at times, but there is glory there. There's hope there. There's faith that needs to be exercised. And there's an incredible grace. Conscious of time, let's go on. Just go down into verse 6 of Romans 5. For when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's an amazing statement. I thought about when the Lord entered Jerusalem when I was reading this. It was the week before he was crucified. And he entered Jerusalem on a donkey. And there were many. It said almost the whole place was moved, wasn't it? The whole town, is that right? But they were singing things like, Hosanna to the highest, Son of David, Saviour of the... Wasn't there? There was a real big crowd swell of this thing of, he's here. I think some would have looked thinking, maybe a white horse, maybe better than a donkey. We're looking for victory here and an army. Do you know what I mean? But he wasn't. The humble king came on a donkey. And they were saying those words. And I read something recently and I said, some of those people that were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David, were the same ones that were saying at the end, crucify him. And it just almost sat upright thinking, oh no. Even with that, even with Jesus, who at one moment had people saying, oh, Hosanna to the highest, the next thing, and within a week they're saying, crucify him, he still gave his life, obedience to the cross and to the Father. That's amazing. That is what we stand in, this grace. Amazing. And it goes on. Keep going with me. It says in verse 10, for if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Did you hear earlier on Dan said two words? And when he said those two words, I said, Lord, I'm on track this morning. I'm linking in with what's been said. He said the word, two words, much more. And in my Bible here, I've in this next little portion, I've underlined it. One, two, three, four times these two words, much more. There is much more in God than there is in the wickedness of the wicked one. And we'll just go on to talk about it now. It says this in verse 12, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men. Basically, you were born into it. Generational, genetic. When Adam sinned, he had a death, which was when he actually died, his spirit in some ways died when he committed sin. And that has gone through all generations. It has, whether you like it or not, all have sinned. So he had a spiritual death when he sinned. He then also, at that time, started the physical death. I still think he did pretty well, though, because he was 960. He's old. But he did. So he had a spiritual death, but also he then had that physical death, but we all have. Okay? But this next little portion of scripture basically says there is much more in the life with Christ than there is holding on to the death and sin of our past. There is. That's the positive word, much more. It says here, I already read it, God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled. That means being made right. Then it goes down here, verse 15. But the free gift is not like the offence. I've underlined that. The free gift is not like the offence. For if by one man's offence many died, much more, just making sure you're all awake, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace by one man. Oh, much more. Then it goes down again to verse 17. For if by one man's offence death reigned through the one, and it has reigned. I can't help it, but I was born into it. Thanks, Mum and Dad. And that sounds very harsh, but we were all born into it. Okay, and that's why there is access to come by faith to Lord Jesus. It says here, for if by one man's offence death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Amazing. I've forgotten my notes. Verse 20, thanks, Jenny. Moreover, the law entered that the offence might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's much more in the Lord Jesus. Honestly, I'm convinced we can really get caught up hanging on to the past. I have to be careful with that there. You can almost linger in it, in a sense. You can linger in things of the past and what you've done. You can feel quite guilty within minutes. If I thought of just the way I was when I was younger, and at even times you kind of think, I can just write myself off. If you've written yourself off this morning, can I say you're not written off? You can come to the bottom of this step this morning. It's a place of grace. If you come there by faith. And then you can start on this staircase of faith, peace, hope, love. Importantly, yes, it's for us, but oh, for the ones that we work with. The ones that find it hard just to do life. We can bring them hope. Let's restore and encourage one another, not destroy and bring down with anger. Just a few little notes. Righteousness is a gift of God to men, whereby all who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ are brought into right relationship with God. The righteousness is unattainable by obedience to any law or by any merit of man's own. If any condition than that of faith in Christ, then there's no way. So we come to him by faith and faith alone. I wonder if we could finish there. I'm not going to finish abruptly, but it's to try and encourage those that wherever you're standing this morning, there's a place to come into grace. There really is. Justification. We're justified. The legal curse, you've been proclaimed innocent. You're not guilty. That's amazing. And what comes with it? Hope. Peace. There's hope for the future. Hope for the broken world. Hope for the persecuted church. Let me just read this as a thing. It says here about being saved, sanctification. I found this just very interesting. Being saved occurs so many times in the New Testament. It says that the word, the nearest English word to salvation is salvage, not safe. Salvage, not safe. Interesting thought, and I don't want to go down the doctrinal things of what that really, but there's a case in which there is this pattern of ongoing work that the Lord wants to do in his people. We are a salvage project. I love the repair shop on TV. I love it. Oh, I really do. I get the box series for it, but it's so good because you see these projects that if someone's come in and it's like you and me turned up and it's got scars, it's got scratches, it's got dislocations, a dodgy knee. It's got all sorts, you know, and this thing that's been in the family for so long and it gets restored. And then what happens? They come back in, it's hidden in the curtain. And then they said, are you ready now? And it's always Jay there who actually doesn't do much of the work. Do you notice that? It's usually all the others, but Jay likes to get the credit for it. But then he gets the curtain. If you've not seen it, you're probably thinking, Mark, what are you going on about? But it's all these different things that you take into the project and they do hands, you know, it's metalwork, woodwork, and all amazing people. And then they remove the curtain. You got it. And then they see something that's been restored. That is exactly like what the Lord does to you and I. On the outside, we may not feel like it at all, and what we go through. Oh, but the Lord does a salvage work, and he has, and he will complete the salvage work. He restores it. Some like a bit of a shine on it, and they're kind of taken back by it. Oh, amazing. The repair shop. But really, yeah, what's underneath it? The Lord does an amazing work. Time's running out. I want to just read, I hope this is in keeping here, but it's a little thing that may just encourage, check that it's on my phone here, it's a little article which just someone sent to me, and I want to just say it as a bit of an encouragement, and I'm aware of people that go out and talk to different people groups, and it was, Matt had sent me a little link here, and it was from an article in the Christian Living, and it says this is, let me just read a little bit from it, but it's about a student that went to Oxford University. This is very recent, and I want to say that the Lord is working in some of these places. The thing when we read news at the moment is that you feel like, oh God, it's not, what is he doing? He is working. Listen to this. 5 years ago, I would have been embarrassed to say I was a Christian here at University of Oxford. When I started my master's program, I came mentally prepared for the ridicule I've been told Christians inevitably receive in academia. I've even read the historian Tom Holland's Dominion to arm myself with positive moments in Christian history, ready to face the gauntlet of accusations about colonialism, imperialism and misogyny. To my surprise, I encountered a far different posture toward my religion and beliefs. Instead of aggressive antagonism, I experienced unexpected spiritual openness with my friends and my classmates. While this 1,000-year-old institution houses a highly secular and progressive student body, its architecture can't help but subtly remind inhabitants of its deeply religious heritage. The cultural mood must be shifting. Conversations about faith, once taboo and marginal, now feel relevant. Over this last year, it seems that religion has become a trendy topic for lively discussions at seminars, lectures, and pub chats around the city. I can go on, but as an encouragement, that people will come back to this grace and grace alone. They're fed up with their own morality, in a sense of the limits of what they put morality at and what's good and bad. They've made their own rules up. But there is some that are fed up with it and they're coming back. Oh Lord, may it encourage those that go out. I'm thinking, I keep looking at Richard because he goes out. Oh Lord, stir hearts that are open. I know I've shared this morning, it hopefully encourages you here. that we are salvage projects and the Lord's working us, but oh Lord, may our eyes be out there. Honestly. Oh man, should we just pray? We've got a couple minutes. I did want to be bold in saying, if you want to respond to the Lord Jesus, I think we've responded already this morning to various things, but never very good at finishing a meeting, but I feel like standing in grace. If you want to stand at the bottom of the steps, and that is standing in grace, and maybe you could stand with me. I'll be bold and put it out there, maybe you're comfortable sat down, but you know the Lord, he amazingly wants us to exercise faith. Faith in the Son that brings a reconciliation. And then God's righteousness that floods in. We're justified. If you want to stand with me, I'll pray as we just respond to the Lord. Hallelujah.